You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Psycho-Cybernetics. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on Psycho-Cybernetics, a new technique for using your subconscious power by Maxwell Maltz. Start with a quote from Maxwell Maltz in Psycho-Cybernetics. He says, quote, "Creative striving for a goal that is important to you as a result of your own deep felt needs, aspirations, and talents, and not the symbols which the Joneses expect you to display, brings happiness as well as success because you will be functioning as you are meant to function. Man is by nature a goal-striving being, and because man is, quote, built that way, he is not happy unless he is functioning the way he was made to function, as a goal striver. Thus, true success and true happiness not only go together, but each enhances the other." End quote. Psycho-Cybernetics. Funny name, great book. Maxwell Maltz was a world-renowned plastic surgeon who discovered that, while some people's lives changed dramatically after he altered their appearance through plastic surgery, some people's lives didn't. He deduced that the primary factor that differentiated these groups was their self-image. Not what they saw in the mirror, but the images they had of themselves in their minds. Cool stuff. He spent the second half of his career merging this self-image psychology with the then-popular science of cybernetics, which studies how things like guided missiles or servo mechanisms hit their targets through a clear goal and constant adjustment of their course. This book is packed with big ideas. If you're feeling it, I definitely recommend you check it out, along with the audio stuff you can find on Amazon. For now, let's start by defining cybernetics and learning what we have in common with a guided missile. Our first big idea, cybernetics, servo mechanisms, and you. Quote, "The word cybernetics comes from a Greek word which means literally the steersman. Servo mechanisms are so constructed that they automatically steer their way to a goal, target, or answer. When we conceive of the human brain and nervous system as a form of servo mechanism, operating with cybernetic principles, we gain a new insight into the why and wherefore of human behavior. I choose to call this new concept psycho-cybernetics, the principles of cybernetics as applied to the human brain." End quote. Cybernetics. It's Greek for steersman. Cool. Here's the easiest way to get what cybernetics and what a servo mechanism is all about. Think of how a guided missile works. First, you need to get a target or a goal. Then you launch the missile, which is taking action. From there, the missile uses its mechanical senses, whether that's radar or sonar or heat or whatever, to stay on target. They call that positive feedback. When it's not on target, it gets negative feedback and simply adjust its course so it's back on track. Really powerful stuff and a great parallel to how we operate. Here's something else to consider. The next big idea, the success instinct. Quote, "A squirrel does not have to be taught how to gather nuts, nor does it need to learn that it should store them for winter. A squirrel born in the spring has never experienced winter. Yet in the fall of the year, it can be observed busily storing nuts to be eaten during the winter months, when there will be no food to be gathered. A bird does not need to take lessons in nest building, nor does it need to take courses in navigation. Yet birds do navigate thousands of miles, sometimes over open sea. They have no newspapers or TV to give them weather reports, no books written by explorer or pioneer birds to map out for them the warm areas of the earth. Nonetheless, the bird knows when cold weather is imminent and the exact location of a warm climate, even though it may be thousands of miles away." End quote. So if you watched The March of the Penguins, the French documentary that tracks the march of the emperor penguins to their breeding spot in the Antarctic, if you're like me, you had to be shaking your head in awe at the amazing intelligence that guide those beautiful creatures year after year after year after year and year and year. Maltz calls that their success instinct. It's that something-something that knows. And it's not just in penguins or squirrels or other animals. It's in all of us. We have a latent drive within us that knows what's best for us. Deepak talks about it in his 7 spiritual laws of success. You can see the notes on that. It's part of his 4th law, the law of least effort. He says, Grass doesn't try to grow. It just grows. Fish don't try to swim. They just swim. Flowers don't try to bloom. They bloom. Birds don't try to fly. They fly. This is their intrinsic nature. End quote. And in his classic As a Man Thinketh, you can see the notes on that as well, James Allen captures this intelligence in his amazing wisdom. He says, quote, "The greatest achievement was at first and for a time a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn. The bird waits in the egg. And in the highest vision of the soul, a waking angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of realities." End quote. And I even named my last business after the Dutch word for seed, that would be zaads, because I'm so in love with this idea that there's a force that's much bigger than us, that's driving us to become what we're destined to become. And in fact, that James Allen quote that I just shared with you was on our stationery. So the point here is simple. You have a success instinct. Nature has equipped you with an intelligence that is far greater than your conscious and rational mind. It's called your subconscious mind. And that's why the subtitle of the book is A New Technique for Using Your Subconscious Power. Okay, now let's look at some big ideas on how to make all this work. Next one is imagination, the first key. Quote, "A human being always acts and feels and performs in accordance with what he imagines to be true about himself and his environment." End quote. Translation here is, if you have limited thoughts about yourself, you will produce limited results. Quote, "For imagination sets the goal picture, which our automatic mechanism works on. We act or fail to act, not because of will, as is so commonly believed, but because of imagination." End quote. Abraham Hicks describes this brilliantly as well. They like to say that working hard without a proper positive mindset is kind of like going river rafting and paddling upstream. It's a lot of work, you don't get too far, and you're exhausted afterwards. As they say, it's a lot easier if you just point yourself downstream by imagining your ideal, feeling into that, and taking inspired action as you live as if that which you desire is already yours in a virtual escrow account. As Maltz says, quote, "Your nervous system cannot tell the difference between an imagined experience and a real experience." So his recommendation is simple. Why not imagine yourself successful? Maltz advises that you spend 30 minutes every day imagining yourself rocking it. He says, quote, "Imagine how you would feel if you were already the sort of personality you want to be. If you have been shy and timid, see yourself moving among people with ease and poise and feeling good because of it. If you have been fearful and anxious in certain situations, see yourself acting calmly and deliberately, acting with confidence and courage, and feeling expansive and confident because you are." And he continues, "This exercise builds new memories or stored data into your midbrain and central nervous system. It builds a new self-image. After practicing it for a time, you'll be surprised to find yourself acting differently, more or less automatically and spontaneously, without trying." End quote. So get on that. Imagine your ideal self facing the challenges you have in your life. Do this consistently and you'll find your self-image shifting and your actions more and more effortlessly aligning with this higher vision of yourself. The next big idea is dehypnotize yourself. Quote, "It is no exaggeration to say that every human being is hypnotized to some extent either by ideas he has uncritically accepted from others or ideas he has repeated to himself or convinced himself are true. These negative ideas have exactly the same effect upon our behavior as the negative ideas implanted into the mind of a hypnotized subject by a professional hypnotist." End quote. Have you ever watched a professional hypnotist at work and seen him get people under his spell and then get him to do some wacky stuff? It's amazing to see. Maltz shares a bunch of examples here from a championship weightlifter who was hypnotized and told he was so weak he couldn't lift a pencil off a table, and then he couldn't, to a football player who was told his hand was stuck to the table, and therefore he wasn't able to lift it. Maltz describes another set of examples where people were positively affected by hypnosis. For example, simply telling people they were strong increased their strength. Now, the fascinating thing to remember here is that their actual strength was not affected. However, the power of our subconscious mind is so powerful that when we simply believe something, it works in mysterious ways to make those beliefs reality. Really stunning. So Maltz makes the point that we're all hypnotized to some extent or another. We've been conditioned by our parents, friends, television, etc., to believe certain things. The question is, are these beliefs the ones we want running the show? It's time to dehypnotize ourselves and reprogram our minds with the beliefs we want running the show. As Maltz so beautifully says, quote, "Within you, whoever you may be, regardless of how big a failure you may think yourself to be, is the ability and the power to do whatever you need to do to be happy and successful. Within you right now is the power to do things you never dreamed possible. This power becomes available to you just as soon as you change your beliefs." End quote. The next big idea is rational thought. Quote, "In short, conscious rational thought selects the goal, gathers information, concludes, evaluates, estimates, and starts the wheels in motion. It is not, however, responsible for results. We must learn to do our work, act upon the best assumptions possible, and leave results to take care of themselves." End quote. A key aspect of psycho-cybernetics is the idea that our subconscious mind is the dominant force in creating our ideal lives. Maltz makes it clear that our rational, conscious mind is used as the control knob of your unconscious machine. Our thinking mind chooses the goals we want to go after and gets the ball rolling. From there, we take action as we release our attachment to the results. Unfortunately, as Maltz says, quote, "because modern man does depend almost entirely upon his forebrain, he becomes too careful, too anxious, and too fearful of results. And the advice of Jesus to take no thought for the morrow, or of St. Paul to be careful in nothing, is regarded as impractical nonsense." End quote. The next big idea is natural behavior and trusting yourself. Quote, "skill in any performance, whether it be in sports, in playing the piano, in conversation, or in selling merchandise, consists not in painfully and consciously thinking out each action as it is performed, but in relaxing and letting the job do itself through you. Creative performance is spontaneous and natural, as opposed to self-conscious and studied." End quote. Brilliant. That's from a chapter called "Letting Your Success Mechanism Work for You." And it's almost exactly what John Elliott says in his great book, Overachievement. You can see the notes on that as well. He says, quote, "to be sure, great performers are well-trained, experienced, smart, and in some cases, divinely talented. But the way their brains work during a performance is a lot more like a squirrel's than like Einstein's. Like squirrels, the best in every business do what they have learned to do without questioning their abilities. They flat out trust their skills, which is why we call this high-performance state of mind the trusting mindset. Routine access to the trusting mindset is what separates great performers from the rest of the pack." End quote. So the point here is simple. There's a time to train through visualization, practice, etc., and there's a time to perform. When you're out there performing, turn your conscious brain off and let your subconscious success mechanism go to work. Here's the next big idea. Wear the habit of happiness. Quote, "our self-image and our habits tend to go together. Change one and you will automatically change the other. The word habit originally meant a garment or clothing. Our habits are literally garments worn by our personalities. They are not accidental or happenstance. We have them because they fit us. They are consistent with our self-image and our entire personality pattern. When we consciously and deliberately develop new and better habits, our self-image tends to outgrow the old habits and grow into the new pattern." End quote. Habit. Did you know the word originally meant clothes or garments? I love the way Maltz describes our habits fitting our personalities. So how are your clothes or habits? Are you rocking the style you want to be seen in, or are you still wearing tattered, misfitting hand-me-downs from a less evolved version of you? Know that if you want to change your personality, the fastest way is to change your habits. It's time to clean out your closet and go shopping for some new habits. How about the shopping spree part of it? What one new habit do you need to develop in your life? So what one new habit do you need to develop in your life right now? And how about the closet cleanse? What one old habit needs to go? This is the fastest way to self-mastery, to look at yourself and say, what one thing would most positively improve my life if I started doing it today? And what one thing, if I stopped doing it, would have such a remarkably powerful positive impact on my life? It's amazing. If we consistently ask ourselves those questions, we can remove the bad habits, build the new ones, and have a sexy wardrobe. All right, the next big idea is, what are your goals? Quote, we are engineered as goal-seeking mechanisms. We are built that way. When we have no personal goal which we are interested in and which means something to us, we are apt to go around in circles, feel lost, and find life itself aimless and purposeless. We are built to conquer environment, solve problems, achieve goals, and we find no real satisfaction or happiness in life without obstacles to conquer and goals to achieve. People who say that life is not worthwhile are really saying that they themselves have no personal goals which are worthwhile. The prescription? Get yourself a goal worth working for. That's genius. So what's your major goal right now? Do you have one? Are you moving towards it? If not, imagine riding a bike. Only imagine not going anywhere. Try sitting on the seat without letting your feet touch the ground and let me know how that works out for you. Bikes were made to move, and as Malt says, quote, a bicycle maintains its poise and equilibrium only so long as it is going forward towards something. You have a good bicycle. Your trouble is you are trying to maintain your balance sitting still with no place to go. It is no wonder you feel shaky. End quote. I love that. If you're feeling funky, check in and see if you have a goal that really inspires you. My hunch is the worse you feel, the less likely you have a compelling goal. The good news is that it's easy to change. Set a goal that inspires you. Could be something as mundane as cleaning your house while listening to great music, or an athletic goal like doing a triathlon, or a bigger goal like starting a new business or relationship. Whatever it is, go for it. All right, the next big idea is nobody's right all the time. Quote, realize that it is not required that a man be 100% right at all times. No baseball batter has ever had a 1,000 average. If he is right 3 times out of 10, he is considered good. The great Babe Ruth, who holds the record for the most home runs, also holds the record for the most strikeouts. It is in the nature of things that we progress by acting, making mistakes, and correcting course. End quote. So are you afraid of making mistakes? If so, Tony Robbins, Albert Hubbard, Thomas Edison, and Napoleon Hill would like a word with you. Robbins says, success is the result of good judgment. Good judgment is a result of experience. Experience is often the result of bad judgment, aka making mistakes. Hubbard says, the greatest mistake a man can make is to be afraid of making one. It took Edison 10,000 failures, in quotes, to figure out the light bulb. He said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, you can see the notes on him, and also you can see the notes on Tony Robbins as well. Hill says, if the first plan which you adopt does not work successfully, replace it with a new plan. If this new plan fails to work, replace it in turn with still another, and so on, until you find a plan which does work. Right here is the point at which the majority of men meet with failure because of their lack of persistence in creating new plans to take the place of those which fail. End quote. In short, get out there and go for it. Ready, fire, aim. As you take action, like riding the bike from above, you naturally discover the course that'll take you to your desired outcome. If you just sit there, though, you're in trouble. So go for it. And the final big idea is feel successful. Quote, and if there is one simple secret to the operation of your unconscious creative mechanism, it is this. Call up, capture, evoke the feeling of success. When you feel successful and self-confident, you will act successfully. When the feeling is strong, you can literally do no wrong. End quote. So how do we do that? Another quote from Maxwell Maltz, he says, quote, simply define your goal or end result. Picture it to yourself clearly and vividly. then simply capture the feeling you would experience if the desirable goal were already an accomplished fact. Then you are acting spontaneously and creatively. Then you are using the powers of your subconscious mind. Then your internal machinery is geared for success, to guide you in making the correct muscular motions and adjustments, to supply you with creative ideas, and to do whatever else is necessary in order to make the goal an accomplished fact. End quote. I say yeah, yeah to that. And I hope you enjoyed this quick look at a great book. Here's to getting our psycho-cybernetic on as we set inspired goals, imagine our ideals, take action as we correct inevitable mistakes, and practice feeling our success. All right, well, that's the note. I'm going to conclude this by suggesting that if you liked this, you'll also like How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, The Philosopher's Notes on As a Man Thinketh and Think and Grow Rich, and the selected writings of Ralph Waldo Emerson. How about a little bit about Maxwell Maltz and then a few quotes from the sidebar, then we will conclude. So the author of Psycho-Cybernetics, Maxwell Maltz, MD. Dr. Maxwell Maltz created his self-improvement phenomenon, Psycho-Cybernetics, at age 61 as the climax to an already varied, colorful, and exceptionally successful career. For many years, Dr. Maltz had a flourishing practice as a reconstructive and cosmetic facial surgeon, lectured internationally on his medical specialty, and pursued a dual career as a prolific author. He was inspired to move from treating outer scars to inner scars after observing that so many patients' unhappiness and insecurities were not cured, as they and he had believed would occur when he gave them the perfect new faces they desired. Dr. Maltz first wrote of this discovery in his book, New Faces, New Futures. In this groundbreaking book, Dr. Maltz suggested that many people see themselves inaccurately, their perceptions distorted by unchallenged and often erroneous beliefs embedded in the subconscious mind. That's from psycho-cybernetics.com, where you can learn more about Maltz and his work, which is continuing to go forward into the 21st century. How about some quotes? Abraham Maslow says, "It seems that the necessary thing to do is not to fear mistakes, but to plunge in to do the best that one can, hoping to learn enough from blunders to correct them eventually." Henry Ward Beecher says, "I don't like these cold, precise, perfect people who, in order not to speak wrong, never speak at all, and in order not to do wrong, never do anything." Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "The measure of mental health is the disposition to find good everywhere." Maltz says, "Continually criticizing yourself for past mistakes and errors does not help matters, but on the other hand, tends to perpetuate the very behavior you would change." Aristotle says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." Back to Maltz. He says, "Conscious effort inhibits and jams the automatic creative mechanism." And he must have a burning desire to solve the problem. But after he has defined the problem, sees in his imagination the desired end result, secured all the information and facts that he can, then additional struggling, fretting, and worrying over it does not help, but seems to hinder the solution. Maltz also says, "Here again, hypnosis furnishes convincing proof. When a shy, timid wallflower is told in hypnosis and believes or thinks he is a bold, self-confident orator, his reaction patterns are changed instantly. He currently acts as he currently believes. His attention is given over completely to the positive desired goal, and no thought or consideration whatsoever is given to past failures." Emile Coué says, my apologies if I just destroyed that name, "Always think of what you have to do as easy, and it will become so." Back to a couple more by Ralph Waldo Emerson. He says, "Do the thing, and you will have the power." And he also says, "There is one mind common to all men." And finally, Maltz says, "Every human being has been literally engineered for success by his creator. Every human being has access to a power greater than himself." So there you go. That's a quick look at Psycho Cybernetics, a new technique for using your subconscious power. Hope you enjoyed it and really enjoyed sharing it with you. This is one of my favorite books, as most of these are. And I look forward to sharing more with you. In the meantime, have an awesome day. See you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.